Grace and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the gospel lesson in Luke chapter 2. Let us pray. O Lord, open my mouth, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. When's the last time that you called a company and you were put on hold? Was it recently? Was it a long time ago? In either case, I'm guessing you know what the experience is like. Please hold for the next available representative. Back in the day, you didn't really know anything else besides that. Nowadays, you might get a message saying, your currently expected wait time is 9 minutes. And 9 minutes later, all of a sudden a voice comes on, we're experiencing higher than expected call volume. Your expected wait time is 33 minutes. What? 33 minutes? You just told me nine. You get impatient, you get frazzled, you start pulling your hair out. Come on, answer me already. It can be kind of what it's like as we wait for God's promises. God tells us he's going to do something, he's going to fulfill it. And we're like, come on, what's going on here? I thought it was going to be soon. I thought you were coming any day. I thought this was going to happen now. We can get impatient and frazzled. So, today we're going to take a look at another example of God giving a promise and fulfilling it. And as we look at this person for whom this happens, we're going to see what God gives them as it's fulfilled, because it's something that we need too. We'll get to respond the exact same way, praising God that we have peace according to your word. Now, we've been talking a lot about promises these past few months. Really, we talk about God's promises every Sunday. But especially in these last few months, as we've been going through last church year into this one, we talked a lot about God's promises as they have to do with the end, as we were in the end time portion of Pentecost, looked forward to what that's going to mean for us. We took a look at God's promises of the last day and the return of Jesus as we go through Advent. And then, of course, here in Christmas, we talk a lot about the promise that God fulfilled and how it's all wrapped up into our eternity, what it's going to mean for us when we die. As we go through all of that, we've also been talking about the patience that we need. We've been dealing with the anxiousness of the difficulties that the evil world can bring us and Satan himself. Get impatient, can't we? It can be tough to be put on hold waiting for the culmination of all things that God has promised. Come on, God, already, let's go. You get frazzled. But today I'd like to especially highlight one aspect of waiting that we have to do. That can in some ways be the most difficult because it's so immediate and taxing. I'm talking about the waiting that we have to do to hear of a fulfilled promise after we sin. After we get duped by the devil and we give in to our sinful flesh, we fall for the empty promises and the lies of Satan and sin, we can be filled with one of the harshest emotions that a human can be filled with. Shame. Shame is harsh because it has these sneakily destructive forces, not just for the person with the shame, but the people around the person with the shame. It's because on a subconscious level, a person with shame, when they're weighed down, they have this stress, this angst because of it, and it leaks out to everyone else. You can start to pull people down and tear them down to make yourself feel better about the shame that you're carrying. You might even put a face to your shame with a certain person, maybe even the person that you've sinned against, when really it's supposed to be your shame. You're the one that bears that. This is what shame can do. It creates the stress and anxiety. That's especially true with our relationship with God. You know, it's not surprising to me as a pastor to hear about somebody who's hasn't been coming to church and how they're caught in a sin. And that can be the reason why that they're not coming to church. It's the Adam and Eve syndrome. After Adam and Eve sinned, and they saw God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, what did they do? They tried to cover up their shame. They hid. They tried to deflect. They blamed each other. They blamed God. They were trying to get out away from this stress, this angst feeling that they had, because they knew something wasn't right with their relationship with God. Something was broken there. So they tried to get away from it. That's what this stress, this angst of shame can do for you and me. And we know about Jesus. We know why he came. Most of us here are members of this church, or we've been instructed in the truths. We've heard about Jesus coming to pay for sins. We've been celebrating here now today and for the last week the fact that he came and brings peace to the earth. But we also know the warnings of God. And we each have a conscience and can listen to the testimony of that. We know the warnings that God has, that he does not look lightly upon those who take advantage of his grace. We know the warnings of God about needing fruits of repentance. We've heard the warnings of those who will go someday to the gate and say, "Lord, Lord," and yet won't be able to enter the kingdom. And so understandably, when we sin and we have this shame, we can question whether this peace is really still ours. We can have doubts about the forgiveness that this Christ child came to bring, and that if it still applies to you. And that's when the long wait comes. We only meet once a week. That's a long time to carry that shame and that guilt, to hear somebody proclaim about a fulfilled promise to you. It can weigh on you. It creates all of this difficulty. It can pour out to others. It can make it really difficult in life. So let's take a look at a person who was given a promise by God and perhaps had to wait a while for it to be fulfilled. Let's take a look at what this fulfillment of the promise gave this person, because that's exactly what you and I are here in need. Let's take a look at Simeon. After Mary and Joseph had Jesus, they brought him according to the law of Moses into Jerusalem. That's where they, according to the law, were presenting their firstborn son. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now we're not told how old Simeon is. You kind of read it, you expect him to be kind of old because of the way that it's worded. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Implies that maybe he had been waiting for a while. I'm guessing he wasn't just told yesterday that he wouldn't see death until he saw him. But young or old, can you imagine waiting for such a promise to be fulfilled? The anxiousness, maybe even the doubts that came in. Because you're like, come on already, this is the great Savior that we've been waiting for thousands of years. The excitement that's there, and yet the anxiety of waiting for it to be fulfilled, is it true? Now what did he have to go on? Just a promise from the Lord, just a little word. Now we hear that he is righteous, that means he had faith. He was devout, that means he lived his faith, but we know Simeon had a sinful nature like you and me. So did he get impatient like Father Abraham did as he was told to wait? Did he lapse in his living and fall into doubts like King David did in his living for God? A lot of anxiousness, doubts, worry. Is the Lord truly going to fulfill this? And then there it was. The Word made flesh. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God. He said, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Sure enough, the Lord fulfilled it. The Lord even made sure to bring Simeon there so that he could see it fulfilled with his own two eyes. It's because the Lord loves not just to make and keep promises. The Lord loves to see his people who trust in his promises as their reaction takes place and their response to it being fulfilled. Simeon sought with his own two eyes the fulfillment, and he praised God and said that he could now leave in peace according to the word. The Lord came through. It was fulfilled. But the peace Simeon had was deeper than just a simple promise being fulfilled, because he knew what that child came to bring. And now this is where he, in the Holy Spirit, gives that praise where you and I want to take this in, because this is where we're included. "My eyes have seen your salvation," Simeon said. God did indeed see the shame that we were waiting in. He knew what it did with our relationship with him, and he sent Jesus to save us, which you prepared before the face of all people. Yes, that includes you. Jesus came to save you. He wants everyone to see this Christ child was born for them. In fact, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. You and I just have our conscience by nature telling us and testifying to us. Without God's word, we're in that darkness of our shame and our guilt. And yet God brings the light of his promise. He reveals his grace, something that we cannot know by nature. Promise fulfilled. A proven promise. And the glory of your people Israel. The promise of a Savior given to Adam and Eve, given to Abraham through the people of Israel, even to King David, was now fulfilled. It was their glory then. All of those who trusted in it then could say, "See, we told you. God fulfills his promises. We knew he would do it. Our faith was well founded." In just four short phrases, Simeon summarizes the profound nature of God's promises, especially the promise in the Christ child. Those with eyes of faith know the promises of God, and those with eyes of faith know what this child came to do. See, these promises weren't just general promises. No, they had a purpose. And Simeon knew that too. It wasn't a coincidence that the Lord brought him to the temple that day. He was there to witness Mary and Joseph, the obedient parents, living according to the law of Moses, raising their child according to the law of Moses. This was Jesus' active obedience on display, as he fulfilled the law that you and I couldn't. But Simeon also knew about the passive obedience of Jesus, the suffering that he would have to face. And he warned Mary about it too. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Listen carefully, this child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The Savior came to a world in order to be rejected by his own people, spoken against all the way up until being crucified. That was the payment that he had to give for the sins and the shame of all people. Simeon knew it. And yet there Simeon was, holding him in his arms, seeing him with his very own eyes. The promise that he had been given, that he'd waited for, had been fulfilled. Would the other promises be fulfilled? Absolutely. And therefore, Simeon had peace according to your word, O Lord. Do you see how you're a lot like Simeon? A sinful human being brought to God's house by God himself to hear about the fulfilled promise of salvation. All of this is fulfilled for you too. And this too is meant to give you peace. We can be so weighed down by our shame, it can create such angst and difficulty for us, for those around us, with God. We can struggle with it, and yet we come here and we hear those sweet, sweet words. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The anxious waiting is done. The fulfilled promise is proclaimed. The Savior indeed came, and someone gets to tell you and remind you of exactly that. The fact that he was scorned and rejected and pierced for you. The fact that he and his perfect life now replaces the life you've lived. Now you have a right relationship with God. How can it be? How do you know? Because it's the Word. What do you and I have to go on? A word, a promise. But we know how God feels about his word. We know that he fulfills it, and therefore we know what that brings us. It's exactly what God promised. So now, as we have all of that shame gone, we're left with something else. We've got a lot of comfort, not just week to week, but now as we look forward to those other promises yet to be fulfilled, last day, the day that we die, and even what we have to go through this week, we can respond the same way that Simeon did. You and I can leave God's house, and as we do, say, Lord, now you dismiss your servant in peace, according to your word. Amen.